Kingdom kids is that needed to make a an opportunity statement is that especially during this summer with a lot of families in and out during the week, we're needing some help with the two phases of Kingdom Kids, and that would be the older ones and then the younger ones, which they call the kidlets. So I think it's Patsy or Theresa about helping out with that. In some ways, maybe we can get to the point to where we can have action teams rotate with it or something. I think you'll be delighted to participate in that because of what Jesus said about children. One of the ways to follow Jesus as a disciple is let the little children come to him. And you can do amazing things, or God can do amazing things through you if you spend some time, maybe just even one Sunday a month, going up and spending time with the children. Because our children need to know God is real. He's not a fairy tale. He is someone they can talk to now, someone they can trust now. When they're disappointed and when they're low and when they're having difficulties and when they're not getting things the way they want it, which is quite often, they need a God. And they need the God, the one and only God, to be able to teach them. And that's why I think what we want to do with Father's Day today is I want to be able to emphasize the importance of the responsibility of being a father. Now, I'm going to deal with different categories with some things. So I want, all the fathers who have, I hate to call them has-been fathers, but I guess that's how we could call it, has-been fathers. This is an important message to you. So get your blue family news out and turn on the back because I want you to fill in the blank, okay? And also for present fathers, this is very important for you as well. Fathers to be need to take notes, okay, on this, because even though it's going to seem simplified, I believe what we're going to hear today is very, very important for us to instill into our families real early. Okay, so I want all the fathers to be. Even the ones who might be here that have never experienced fatherhood. There are some principles, and I believe there are plenty of children. All you have to do is come here and ask our brother David. There are plenty of children, too many children in our culture that are living with no fathers in the home. And there's a way that you can be a father if you haven't experienced fatherhood. And I think some of these notes that we're going to take today can help all of us to be able to participate in what God really intends to catch hearts early into households of people, okay? So what I want you to do is go to Psalm 127, and we're going to look at this very important passage. Go ahead to the next slide, Nikki. This is a very important teaching. I'm going to read the first five verses, even though 3 through 5 is quoted up here. But that's going to stay in front of you for the rest of most of the message, because I want you to be able to hear and fill in the blank and concentrate on this passage, because it's very important for all in this room. The psalmist writes this: unless the Lord builds the house, the builder's labor is in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring, a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Now, I want to emphasize some of the I believe that stands out to me that we need to hear in this very important role as being the Father. So the Almighty Father instructing us to be fathers and what we need to understand about being a father. Now, again, you got to remember everything, the has-beens, the present days, the futures, and even the ones who've never experienced fatherhood, we can use this. We need this. We need this in our culture. We need this in our households. And to realize this, I believe, just spikes up the seriousness of the responsibility of being a father. Because unless the Lord is building our principles within our home, he's not talking about going out here and taking a 2x4 and putting a house together. What he's talking about is that what you're building in the character of your home, if it's not built by the Lord, it's in vain. It's totally in vain. You labor in vain. And we get caught up into our culture that life is about getting up in the morning, going to work, and one thing right after another, until the point to where these schedules are damaging the relationships that we're having with our children. Because what we don't do is take the time to allow the Lord to build our house through us. And there's different principles that we can learn, and that's what I'm going to share with you today. Children are a heritage. You know, I believe this passage is saying this. Kevin, what you're teaching Kalen as a father can go down from one generation to the next generation to another generation. And that's why it's very important. Your legacy, your heritage of your household can last for generation after generation after generation. And that's how some of us were raised. Some of the principles that are, like I was raised under, were very effective in allowing me to get to know who the Lord is. And also some of the damages that's been done to just my understanding comes from how things were not taught. And so it's very important. So let's just consider today, what our children need from us as fathers or other children. Again, you remember. Now, okay, the has-been fathers, let me talk to you today about, do you know that there's fathers out there that need mentoring? They need mentors. They need somebody to help them out. They need somebody to come along and make sure that their household is looking at some principles to where they're raising up their household in letting the Lord. Now, I know we got all these different opinions of what that looks like and everything, but hopefully we're going to learn from these just points how to put those into practice to where the experienced father, maybe that's better than has been, the experienced father can help the one who is experiencing fatherhood how to make sure they're not building their house in vain. And so that's why it's very important that we look at this. What our children need from us as fathers. Number one is to love them. Pretty simple, isn't it? How I treat, what I share, the emphasis, the principles that are being taught, Do I talk to my children as if knowing that they can understand that God is real and He is alive? He's not a fairy tale. He's not somebody that I just bring up every now and then, and He's not somebody that I just talk about at the dinner table. And what I mean is in prayer, because that's the only time you pray. Like, I got to tell you a really cute story. Up in Minnesota, we had this little boy, blonde haired boy. He'd roam. He looked like Dennis the Menace, is really what he looked like, with blonde hair and everything, the little rooster tail. But his name was Alex. Okay? Alex was the neighborhood just going around knocking on doors. I don't know where his parents, I don't think I've ever met his parents. All I saw was Alex. He'd knock on the door, and he'd want to come in and play with Kaylin and stuff. And there was one time Cammie was cooking supper, and we wanted to sit down at the kitchen table. And we had that all set up and everything. We asked Alex, Alex, would you like to go home and ask your parents for permission to eat supper with us, or do you want us to call your parents and ask for permission to stay here? And he said, no, I think Mommy's cooking me something, so I'll just wait. And so we just went ahead, and we prayed, and afterwards, Alex spoke up and said, we do that sometimes when the preacher comes over for dinner. I tell you, that one sentence told me a lot about what's going on in the home. And so in that, we got to realize loving our children is letting the Lord build our home, where they see you being changed by the same principles that you're teaching them. I know loving them should go without saying, but boy, we need reminded. Our kids need to know and hear us say to them that we love them. I know it can be awkward when you get older, but I believe no matter how old you are and no matter how old your children are, your children need to hear from you. You love them and you care for them. Jesus was reminded by God at his baptism how pleased his Father was. A voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy." That's what God the Father said to his son. Now, have you ever told your children something like that? You bring me great joy. Yes, you make mistakes. Yes, you irritate me at times. But all in all, because you are my child, you bring me great joy. Number two, be accessible to them. This is what we're going to have to learn. We're going to have to learn to be more accessible. And sometimes when I go down through principles like this, I think we have a tendency to say, uh-oh, okay, what if I didn't practice these things? What if I didn't do these things? It's too late now. It's never too late. Ever too late to start practicing these. Be accessible to them. Even if your children are full-grown adults right now, be accessible to them. But at home, be accessible to them. The kingdom kids up here, making them understand what's it mean to live in God's kingdom. Show them what it means to live in God's kingdom. Be the principles that Jesus is teaching you as a disciple, and then share those, how great rewards they are to your children. Our children should be presented God in such a way that they can't help but want to follow his son. Too much in households, God has become a story and something that's boring. In church, we contribute to that. If we're making God a boring thing, And that he's just some fairy tale. He's just something to come and talk about. And it doesn't change our lives at all. We leave here, we're done. Well, I'll catch up with him again next Sunday. We contribute to how our children see God. And we need to be accessible to them to tell them how great he is, how he's changing your life, how we can have hope in him. And even when I disappoint God, God's willing to forgive. God is always taking and mending the mistakes that we make. In Mark chapter 10, let me read to you this. This is what we talked about the little children coming to Jesus. But let me remind you of it. It's Mark chapter 10, verse 13 through 16. Just listen to these words. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place their hands on them. But disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. Okay, now sometimes we just kind of feel like he was just a little disturbed. I think he was absolutely mad. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Let them." See, sometimes I read it as, "Let the little children come to me," and I kind of make it so. Well, if he's indignant, I believe he said, "You let the little children come to me. You let them. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Now, truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And so then, this is when I believe he comes very soft and loving and gracious. He took the children into his arms, he placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Now, fathers, follow Jesus here. Take your children into your hands and tell them how much they are a blessing and that you want to bless them. The one way to bless your children is be the father that God's calling us to be. Take them into your arms. I know that there are some men struggle with emotions, but this is where we're going to have to follow Jesus. We need to love them. We need not shy to be able to take them into our arms and tell them how much we love them and give them that blessing. So be accessible to them. Number three, instruct them. Now, this seems obvious as well, but I want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 31 here, and I'll just read you a couple of verses. Now, this is when the public reading of the law was happening that Moses wrote down for the people to live by. But let me read up to it. So Moses wrote down this law, gave it to the Levitical priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and to all the elders of Israel. Then Moses commanded them, at the end of every 7 years in the year of canceling debts, during the festival of the tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, you shall read this law before them on so that they can hear it for their hearing. Now here's what he says. Assemble the people, men, women, and children, and the foreigners residing in their towns, so that they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of this law. Their children who do not know this law must hear it. They must learn how to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. What he's saying is that, yes, God's given a promise about this land to dwell in, but when you get there to raise your children is that they need to hear what God has to say about what kind of life to live. They need to hear it. And so the ABCs are this. Fill in your blank underneath this. They need to learn, A, the things of God. Like it or not, parents, if you don't teach them the things of the God, of God, of our God, they will definitely learn 100% the things of the world. And they're going to see it. And they're not going to like it. If we don't teach the things of God, they will follow the things of the world. They're going to struggle with the things of God, but you need to make God exciting. You need to make God real. I remember one time, and I, you know, this is not putting down my parents, but I learned a little bit more freedom what we could have in our worship assemblies to the point to where I could raise my hands. Raising hands is not for everybody, but I just know one thing is the Bible talks about it, and I'm just praising Him when I do it. But I remember one time as a little boy that I would get pinched for moving in the pew. You know what that taught me? I better shut up, be quiet, and don't move, or God's mad. If that stays a hold of you into adulthood, that becomes a law that you put on other people that God never intended for you to do. So here's the ABCs. A, in the things of God, instruct them. B, teach them by your own actions how to be obedient to God. To obey. Proverbs 1 says this, "My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck." Now, you might be saying, well, that Proverbs is for the children to read. Brothers and sisters, I believe it's for mom and dad to read, starting with dad. Dad needs to learn how to teach the principles of God in a way that it's correcting them, not just telling them where they're doing wrong. Do you know the word of God was instructed to Timothy that God's word is used for the benefit of you in four ways? Teaches you, rebukes you, corrects you, and trains you. Now, what if we just left it at rebuking? We just teach the Bible that you're doing wrong, you're doing wrong, you're doing wrong, you're doing wrong, and we never get to the point of how to correct it. Then all you get the image of God in your heart is all He is a God of telling you where you're wrong. And then He's mad. But God wants to correct things. And when God corrects what is corrupt, blessings come. Joy comes. Your love of the Lord blossoms. And you can't keep it quiet. See, oh, how we need this today. Instruct your children how to respect other people. Really, our children need to learn how to respect others. Now, first of all, it begins with us. If you disrespect people, they will see it and they will follow. Leviticus 19 says this, "Stand up in the presence of the elderly and show respect for the aged. Fear your God. I am the Lord." We need to just dose our families with respect. Even when you disagree with somebody, you've got to learn respect. And our children need it today. I needed it back in my generation, and you did too. All of our elderly in this room, we can never come to think that we are today's generation's the only one that struggled with respect. You know, we did too. But we need to learn how to teach our children to respect them. Now, the fourth thing, the last thing that I want to cover is this. This seems really simple, but again, it's more than just sitting and praying over food at a kitchen table. Number four is pray for them. Pray for our children. We got to love them, be accessible to them, instruct them in the ABCs of the things of God, to obey God and to respect other people, and we need to pray for them. Here's A through E. We need to be praying for our children to be pure. We need to pray for purity. James talks about, really, this is a full-time life with God. Take care of people in need and don't get polluted by the world. If we could do those two things, I think we're doing a lot for the Lord. Don't get polluted by the Lord, the world, but go out and show God to other people by taking care of their needs. So pray for purity. On Wednesday nights, Cammie and I have been doing sessions. I know some of the parents here have taken purity material and spent a weekend. Cammie took Kaylin up to Blowing Rock, stayed in a hotel, and taught Kaylin this material on purity. Godly purity. On Wednesday nights, we are teaching both the young men and the young ladies separate in the rooms where I'm teaching the boys, she's teaching the girls, about how serious it is to stay pure. And it's more than just sexual purity. It's being polluted by the world in a lot of ways. So pray for your children and their purity. Pray for relationships. Pray that your children will develop strong relationships, starting with the Lord first. And then the Lord will train them how to have relationships with their parents, with their siblings, their friends, and the people that they come in contact with. Pray about their relationships. Help them. Teach them ways that they could look for helping relationships. Don't let them be polluted by the relationship. Help them to be able to serve and reach out to relationships. C, pray for protection for your children. Pray for physical, spiritual, and emotional protection. This world is a dangerous place to live in. You can live in a small town and not have a threat physically, but morally, their souls are being attacked. So pray for protection. Pray also for their weaknesses. Every child has their struggles, whether it's with lying, angry outbursts, disrespect for others, or a number of issues. Pray that God will shape their character and turn their weaknesses into strengths. One way to help them do that is to be open in your weaknesses so that they can be open to you about theirs. For some reason, it has filtered into our homes because of the lack of access or time or presenting God's will in a great way. In some ways in my upbringing, God was just a story. I've told this plenty of times to a lot of people that I thought Jesus was just like Santa Claus. But when he becomes real in the parent's life, wow. You can see it in their children. Last thing, pray in thanksgiving. God told us they are a reward. Children are a blessing. And we need to be thankful for them. No matter how much heartache or headache they will bring you, they are a reward. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. First of all, we thank you for our children. For us as parents, we thank you for our parents because we once were their children in their home. We thank you for the principles that you had taught them and you have taught from generation after generation after generation. We thank you for all the fathers that are here in this room who have experience, who are experiencing, or yet to experience. We need fathers here to mentor other fathers. We need those fathers to show the example of how great of a father you are to them, so that you are real in our homes and that you are the true builder of our character. You sent Jesus to show us. Help us as fathers to make Jesus real. And the reason why is because he is. And he lives. And he sits right beside you. And right now, he is our high priest. And he is being our advocate. And we thank you for him. We thank you for the example of being the greatest father of all. We honor you and we want to respect you. And we praise your name. And all this comes through your son that we say together. Amen. We're going to sing a song. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. The Father's blessing. So our shepherds will be in the back to receive any prayer requests you have. Let's stand and sing this song.